How are you doing this evening?
I'm trying to recover from a little fall I took yesterday. It's got me kind of stoved up a little bit. It's down here playing with some PSK and just trying to learn the ropes a little bit before I actually transmit on it.
Well, I would not be the go-to person on that, that's for sure. Well, we're just headed down to take a peach pie down to the kids. And heading down 101. Where in the world all this traffic come from tonight? I wouldn't have thought it, but there is. Used to see three or four cars on here, and now it's bumper to bumper at times. Well, it's been a booger of a hot one today, Jimmy. I'll tell you for sure. We retreated to the house pretty early this morning. Didn't do too much outside other than tend to the birds and the chickens. And that's about the size of it. It hadn't been an eventful day. I was just sitting there watching Fox News Channel on the NHRA, the top fuel dragsters. I like that, but had to leave. Now I'm behind a Volkswagen running 35 miles an hour.
Loved watching the, love watching dragsters. It's just amazing to me, something, you know, the what they can get out of those cars and then have to turn around and rebuild the engines as soon as they get done with a run. And they can do it in 10, 15 minutes flat. It's just, it's astonishing. And, it's, we went out today to check on some of the plantings we did yesterday, and they're seeming to be happy and healthy. Transplanted a little bit of the zoysia that was growing in the flower beds out into the yard where there isn't any zoysia, and hoping to get it to spread. And it hasn't dried up and died, so that's kind of good news there. As far as that peach pie, you know, if you wanted to drop it off here in Anderson, I would make sure that it would be very well taken care of. Hi.
But you made Bernice giggle over here. Yeah, they're beautiful. They look like something off of one of those magazine covers. She made two of them, and then she made a chocolate one for the grandson. And I sent her a picture a while ago. I said, you wouldn't be interested in a peach pie, would you? And that didn't take long to come back with a yummy. Bernice was bored, and when she's bored, she cooks a lot. We had a little watermelon this afternoon for a treat, and that was about it. Been having trouble getting a good one. Bought a yellow one the other day, and it wasn't as good as they usually are, but it was edible, I guess. But we give about half of it to the chickens. And by the way, John Force just blew his engine, and they were doing exactly that. And I think those things develop, if I'm not wrong, around 10,000 horsepower. And they were running 327 miles an hour. I don't know if that's eighth of a mile or a quarter. I assume it's a quarter.
And I couldn't imagine going from zero to 300 mile an hour in a quarter of a mile. That's just, that would be fun.
That's NGLTR. Well, I've had a pretty good acceleration off of an aircraft carrier, but they pull more G-forces than we pulled in a cat shot.
Yeah, that's just one of those things. Just hold the wheel as straight as you can, and you're along for the ride at that point once you hit that gas pedal. I've watched some documentaries on those engines and everything else, and it's just baffling. And the money that it takes to run one of those things is even more baffling.
So, and then, let me see, I gotta turn that wiper off here. We're getting a little sprinkle as we come down there. The top motorcycles, I guess they're fuelers, they were running about, I think 187 mile an hour in the quarter. And that's pretty fast. I remember many, many years ago watching the Minnesota Madman, I think is what he was called, and I actually saw the pictures by his motorcycles at a guy's house. He had, I believe it was a 327 Chevrolet engine sideways in that motorcycle, and he had several of them, and the guy standing there was a hot rodder himself, and he said, go down to the traps and watch him when he goes through the traps, Tom. And he'd start that thing out on a stand, like a motorcycle stand, and you shove it off, and he had a slick on it, and when he'd get to the end of that quarter mile, which, by the way, he looked like he was on skis coming down through there going side to side, and when he let off the throttle, Jimmy, if you can imagine this, the tire grabbed at that point, and it did a wheel stand at 180 miles an hour going through the traps.
Would scare me to death. After years and years and years of riding on two wheels, and I'm no longer able to do it because of my leg, any wheel stand was scary. But north of 100 mile an hour doing a wheel stand? Nope, not for me. I'm good. Thanks.
There goes a three-wheel Harley now. They got helmets on. That's good. Most of them don't, but some of them do. These are some older folks, and they got some smarts. But at any rate, it increases your chances of survival, at least. But, there are some of those crotch rockets out there that'll do that now. I saw an advertisement for that new Hayabusa a while ago from Suzuki, and W4DJW's got one of those. And I don't remember precisely, but I think the rev limiters were set on that at about 180 miles an hour. And that was, he's had that a long time. But, no, this guy had a Chevrolet engine in that motorcycle. And I remember the pictures on that TV show buying them. I think they were going to try to get him into a museum, because he was famous for that. And that was back in the, it had to be the 60s, Jimmy, that I saw him do that. So he was at the forefront. They didn't have drag motorcycles like I do now.
A gentleman in our pool, what do you call it, the pool league, and he was running from the police, and he was on a crotch rocket, and got into an accident. He T-boned a pickup truck, and he hit this pickup truck hard enough for it to flip on its side, if you can imagine. So, needless to say, he didn't make it through that, and just it's just astonishing the power of these motorcycles now. You roll into the throttle, and they will literally try and come out from under you.
There's no question about that. Back in the old days, I got on a 360 Yamaha dirt bike with the expansion chambers and all that on it, and I'm telling you, I was used to doing wheelies at slow speeds on my little old Yamahas. But that thing, you could be going along 60 mile an hour and crank it, and it'd come off the ground. And to me, that's craziness. That's scary. But my brother gave me a three-cylinder, 750, two-cycle Suzuki, and it was water-cooled. And the reason he did is he had hit a 12-point buck with it up in Virginia, or West Virginia, I'm not sure which. Broke his collarbone, busted his spleen, and punctured a lung. And he killed the buck, but he survived, and his wife was on the back, and she survived, but they were in full leathers and cracked. crash helmets. But he had just retired from the Navy and had went back to work at the Military Personnel Command up there by the Pentagon. And I'll never forget that. The ambulance drivers got a hold of the antlers afterwards and had them mounted. And instead of saying, you know, 30-30 Winchester or something, it said GT750 Suzuki on those antlers.
Yeah, wildlife was always a scary proposition. Wildlife and dogs. Dogs were never your best friend either. Had a dog almost made me drop my bike once. And I think that was the one and only time I ever did a wheel stand on one, and it was inadvertent. And I was in a lean, and I accidentally hit the throttle, and when I did, it went wide open, and it picked the front wheel up on me, and the owner of the dogs just turned around and looked at me like I was an idiot, while his dog was actively trying to turn my leg into a chew toy.
I saw the x-rays of a guy that, I think he hit a deer. I was at Kansas City, KU, getting my foot operated on. As you walk down the hall, they had all these x-rays up on the wall where he could just see them all. And he had as much metal in his leg as a battleship, shall we say. They looked like quarter by one inch plates all up and through there. He was telling me about it. Yeah, that was a nice motorcycle. He gave it to me because it had a bearing go out on the crankshaft, and they said it would be $550 to replace that bearing because they had to replace the whole crankshaft and piston assembly. And I talked to the dealer back in Kansas, and he said, oh, no, we can replace the bearing. So me and my buddy went out to Washington, D.C. and picked it up on a trailer I borrowed from the Yamaha dealer, and or the Suzuki dealer, I can't remember. Anyways, rented it from him, and I got back, and then he got into it and found out that he couldn't either. And I was pretty poor at that time. I actually had to go borrow the money to replace that crankshaft. I wasn't going to let it just set there after going to Washington, D.C. to get it. It was 1,900 miles or so. I forget. It was a long ways. Or maybe it was 1,100. Well, it was 19 and a half hours, I think, we drove out there and then back on the Thanksgiving weekend. But it made me a nice bike for a long time. And I finally sold it. I come around a curve down in Arkansas and hit some, looked like somebody poured a quart of oil out in the middle of the line. And I was down and sliding before I even knew it. Always before, if I went down on a dirt track or something, I deserved it. But I didn't even know I was going down. It was just walk when I was down. But didn't get chewed up very bad, so I decided I better sell that. I don't want my kids getting killed on it, you know.
Yeah. That's scary, yeah. And I've ridden all kinds of bikes, from cruisers to sport bikes to dirt bikes, and I used to love doing it, but, you know, now that I can no longer do it, especially living in the Atlanta area, the Atlanta area scared me to death. I hardly put any miles on my motorcycle at all, and if we went anywhere, it was through back roads and all that. It's just real dangerous, and, you know, it's not for me anymore.
Down here at the GSP airport runway, going past it. And, yeah, I feel the same way. I'm not able anymore. I'm too beat up. But when we first come down here, I considered it. And then I started seeing it was killing one, two, three people a week on motorcycles. And I can't believe it was always the motorcycle's fault. They just don't care, and they don't see them. And I always rode with the opinion that you needed to be a little bit paranoid and think that the cars were out to get you. And they were, because they'd look you right in the eye and pull out in front of you. And so I just decided, no, as much as I'd love to have one, I can do without. Have you seen these cars that they're like a motorcycle that they sell? And they got a little Ford engine in them, I think. But boy, those things are over 30 grand.
Shots. My 92-year-old grandfather bought one.
I don't know what to say.
Of us. None of us want to ride in him with, in a car, much less something that doesn't have very much around it. He is a speed demon, I guess we could say.
Well, I'm telling you for sure, I was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when I was a kid on one. I used to ride mine back and forth when I worked at Learjet in Wichita, and it was 165 miles each way, and that was just a 250. And I actually had a bar mount and got blowed off the road out there from the winds, but that kind of scared me. But I was mad about things when I was really, really young, you know, in my teens and that. But as I got older, I got more sensible. But I'll tell you a funny one. I was down in Arkansas in the Ouachita National Forest, and I come around the corner. Now, this many years ago, and I was probably running 80 and coming close to rubbing the pegs on that 750 Suzuki, and I just missed hitting this great big thing that I wasn't sure what it was because I'd never seen one. And so I went up the road and stopped and turned around, and I mean, I had goosebumps. I come that close to hitting it. It was an armadillo. We didn't have armadillos in Kansas, but now we do. I think the Spanish people use them for pets, and they brought them up there is the only thing I can figure.
A possum on a half shell. You know, and in my time in South Georgia, I have only seen 3 armadillos alive in my life. The rest of them have been sitting on the side of the road upside down.
And I kid my Mexican friend about that, you know. Him and his daughter come up and visit us now and then, but they're really nice folks. But those were pets down there. But I'll tell you for sure, I'd go out to the farm there at Bernice's sister and my brother-in-law, and this dog across the street, every now and then he'd get a hold of one, and he was probably 35, 40 pounds, not a big dog at all, but he was a farm dog. And he'd grab on those, and I didn't realize it, but those things can jump, like, straight up. And it was funny to watch that dog out there in the middle of that dirt road. He'd get a hold of an armadillo, and every time that armadillo jumped, that dog would go up in the air 2 or 3 feet.
They are funny little creatures. They really are, and they're kind of noisy. And they will destroy a yard. Goodness gracious. I've seen some of them dig just massive potholes into a yard overnight, and you know they're after grubs. So I've had many customers that I've had to treat with insecticides to get rid of the grubs, to get rid of the armadillos.
Yeah, I know what you mean. George said they'd get into the foundations of houses and just cause all kinds of damage.
Yeah, it's they're just nasty little creatures. And No, I get it. They've got their place, but they are destructive. They're almost as destructive as moles and rats and, in some cases, pigs.
Yeah, I come around a curve down there by Eureka, Arkansas one time, and there was a high wall next to me, so there was really just very little ditch, and there were seven or eight deer right there. Now, their deer at that time down there in that area were not, so they were about like the ones down here. They weren't like Kansas deer. They was probably 100 pounds or so. And I come around, and I had a Vetter Sparing in front of me, and I was probably running about 80. And I was leaning into the curve, and out these deer jumped. And instead of running across in front of me, they ran longitudinally beside of me. And I had installed these 5M horns on that bike, and they were really loud. And I was trying to get slowed down because I was in a curve anyways. And I thought, honk that horn. And I honked that horn, and they froze, and I drove by them.
And a lot of times they won't move. I've hit my share of them for sure.
I was coming back from Wichita one night, and the Flint Hills out there has some huge hills, and about like up in the mountains here. And I, you can believe that out in Kansas, but in the Flint Hills between Fredonia and Augusta, there's some huge hills. They killed a lot of people out there. And it was about 10:30 at night, and I was going home from Learjet and for the weekend to stay with my folks. And I come down this hill, and I seen some eyes at the bottom of the hill. And, come on, let's go, people. You got a green light. And they were like a possum or something on the road, so I didn't get too excited about it. So I kept on coming down the hill. Well, as I come down the hill, those eyes started getting taller, if you can imagine that kind of a view. And when I got right down at the bottom of the hill, I was running probably 60 to 70 mile an hour in that area. And I went right between two Holstein cows out in the road. And there must have been six or eight cattle out there. Most of them were in the ditch, but two of them was right in the road. And I went right in between them. And I went up the road, and I stopped at the farmer's house. Well, dumb me, I was going to go out and tell the farmer so somebody didn't get killed and sue him for the cows getting out. And when I got up to the farmhouse, I was surrounded by six or eight dogs that was going to have me for supper. And I couldn't move. And out this guy come, and I was thinking, oh, I hope he don't have a gun. And he ran the dogs off, and he said, what do you need, son? It's late. We was in bed. And I said, well, your cattle's out on the highway. And he says, you wait right here. And he went back, and he come back, and he had I'm pretty sure it was a $20 bill. And he said, thank you, son. I'll get down there and get those off the highway. And I said, well, I could sure use the $20. But I said, you keep it. You just get them cows off the highway.
Yeah. That's scary. That's a scary scenario. When I was coming home late one night, there was a horse in the road. So I went up to the house, and they had a bunch of goats on that front porch. And every time I'd step towards the front porch, the goats, and still had horns, would start coming after me. Turns out they just wanted me to pet their head. And they were like big marshmallows. Scared the life out of me. But I woke poor old guy up out of bed. And this was probably 2 or 3 in the morning. And he's like, can I help you? I said, you own a brown horse? He goes, yeah. I said, it's down in the road. He goes, oh, crap. Again? So, yeah, it wasn't the first time, so, you know, that was, I've seen accidents where people have hit livestock, and it's not fun.
I can remember Ronnie hitting that deer. It wasn't funny at all. We went out there and picked his kids up and took care of him while he was in Bethesda Hospital for about a month. But you come out of it all right. Well, we're here, so I got to go. The daughter's coming out. And Jimmy, the pleasure's all mine. It's nice to talk to you on the way down here. KG4LSL in 0OTR 73's doing.
73's Tom, and yeah, pleasure has been all mine, of course, for sure. And always enjoy talking to you. Miss Bernice, if you can still hear me, good evening to you, ma'am. N0TR, KG4LSL, I'll be clear.